Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon. Shalom to all. So tonight, let me read my disclaimer that I have not done quite some time, but I am going to read it tonight. This is the Rise of the Dry Bones. Your host, Morel, comes on Wednesdays, 9:30 p.m. This is an historical and biblical analysis of current day events and how those events today fit the Israelite prophecies. This show discusses how history has been manipulated to dismiss and hide the very understanding of the particular people who wrote the scriptures and whom the scriptures were given to. We prove that prophecy did not stop 2,000 years ago and that, considering numbers, nature, and natural means only, a revolution of the wheel of fortune, an exchange of situation is among the possible events, that it may become probable by supernatural interference. Thomas Jefferson. We show that the solution to these probable events of the change of fortune is to know who the Israelites are, because they have been given the divine light to bring to his chosen few of Israel and the Gentiles to be saved out of the heathen world of darkness. I, Moriel, Brother William, I invite you to call 46668-8217 and join in the conversation with your understandings and suggestions. Also by computer radio, our station link is blogtalkradio.com/crowntalkingdrums. Now, Israel, do you hear me? Israel, do you hear me? Where shall we begin? All right. Well, let's begin here. Let's start with a conversation regarding the Father and his people. So let's start in Deuteronomy. Let's start with this. Because as we look at the world today, and we look at the way a lot of people are acting, we have looked at these people in a way that we held them in high regard. Now, these people have to pay for a lot of things, and one of the things they're going to pay for is being an idol. They had us believing that they were a god that was an idol. They loved to watch us give them god status, idol status. They loved it for a long time. They loved it. And now with our eyes open, including our third eye, now we see them for what they are. This is like that movie, goodness gracious, the movie where they had the glasses and you take them off and you see them, you know, like whatever, but then when you put the glasses on, you see them for who they are. If you think of that concept, this is where we are. We have now put our glasses on. We have now opened our third eye. We are now fully awake, and now we get to see them for who they are, looking at them in a way that mortifying and saying, hey, you guys are bugs. You guys are recessive. The older you get, the more recessive you get. Now, not all. Some, you could see their genes were stronger, and some, you could see that they weren't. And, you know, it's to be expected because we were blind. We had been very blind, and we had been blinded by Christy insanity as well. And I'm going somewhere with all this. I got this all in my mind because the Father has put this on me, and I have been waiting to say this. I didn't want to bring anything. I just wanted to do it tonight. And I tell you, I did my yard the last 2 days, played some ball. So, you know, I'm a little tired, but the Father's got me with endurance, and that's something else. I have been seeing the word endurance over and over again. I've been hearing it. I've been seeing the word perseverance over and over again. I've been hearing it. And it's just interesting to me where we all are in terms of our endurance and our perseverance. Think we've been training for a long time. You know, we've been training. They never knew that we were out training, doing the things that we needed to do while they were, you know, eating and getting fatter, thinking that nobody can beat them. They're that team. They're that team that thinks nobody can beat them. But yet we've been training. We've been out, you know, honing our skills, learning our heritage, learning our knowledge, our wisdom, getting instruction from the Master, the Father, being comforted by the Spirit, understanding the way to do things from our brother. And we've been putting all this together. And they have not been putting any of it together. Matter of fact, they've been breaking it all apart. They've been trying to reverse engineer the truth for a long time. And what I have to say to them today is this: mene mene tekel, you farson. Mene mene tekel, to say to them. And this is what we're starting to see. Why am I saying this? Because we have to realize we can't get caught up, as Brother Levi said, caught up in their karma. We can't allow ourselves to become a victim when we are supposed to now not be a victim. We are now to look at, like Brother Judah said, we are now to look at our blessings. And first, before I read that, I want to read this, because this is why we have to take care of things that we have to do for ourselves individually, so that when it comes to the collective, we're all in sync. You know, this is why we can't worry about JoJo Magoo's and Kamala getting up there. Not even, you know, the audacity of a non-Negro getting in front of the United Nations talking yik-yak and foo about Putin doing crimes against humanity is the crux of hypocrisy. First of all, it's hypocritical that this person who looks like a Negro but isn't a Negro is talking about somebody else having crimes against humanity, not even apologizing or repenting on the crimes against the humanity that she's a part of. The hypocrisy. JoJo Magoo, on his day that we're supposed to all be, you know, worshiping him, which is what they do, worship their presidents, their idols, he out the country playing with Gorbachev, whatever that dude, Zelensky's name, playing with him. When we got 360 million people and this joker is given $130 billion, this is hypocrisy at its best. while the Europeans are over there in Africa knocking on Africa's door talking about, you need to let us all in, even the gays and the Africans, the Ugandans are going, no, we don't want you here. Get off my door. Get off my doorstep. My Ring camera does not want anything to do with what you peddling. And they're like, well, we're going to have to take some aid. Well, take the aid. We ain't doing it. We don't need your Jang Jang hanging out at my door. Get out of here. I don't want to see it. We want to know parts of your Jang Jang and your JJ. Get on out of here with that madness. We're just going to have to think hard about the aid that we're going to get. Okay. So, you know, all the places that are good with that, you paying them? You paying them to the fame and fortune, everything that goes along with it. Say thank you all. The fame and fortune comes at a price, but they're going to pay you to go into the lake of fire. The hypocrisy is rife with hypocrisy. It just stinks. It's their stench. They're starting to stink. And watch this. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. This is what we're starting to see, a foolish nation. A fool. A person who acts unwisely or imprudently, a silly person, trick or deceive someone, to dupe. He fooled me. So let's go back. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation, an unwise nation. Is that not what we're seeing? So he put that foolish nation over us. And we thought these fools were, and they ran around with their Superman complex. That's why you see JoJo Magoo right now struggling through falling up and downstairs. I mean, that's a feet and a half. If that's not the Most High telling us this mene to cow, I don't know what is. Yeah, I mean, for you to be falling upstairs and falling downstairs, you need to go sit your ass down. You need to truly go sit down. You need to be on a flat surface. Maybe, matter of fact, why don't you just get in a little chair and let somebody push you? But then he's going to sneak away and then go take a photo op so that he can look like Superman, even though that dude is so far from Superman. It's like spiritual life passing by. She was saying, you know, Putin work out. Putin, you know, just drag that dude across the street 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. I say he just straight up drop kick that fool and break and it'd be over. His foot go right through his chest. He ain't no Superman. And it's interesting because Trump, when a couple months ago or last fall, Trump was going to come out and talk about what he wanted to do, and the people were all, you know, he's going to run for president again, blah, 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 and the people were all on the edge of their seats, and he came out with a Topps trading card showing him as Superman. So he like everybody else in the Gentile persuasion, believes their own foolery. Their own deception. What's their deception? Oh, well, in the movies, we can go to the moon. In the movies, we can win every war. In the movies, we can be Superman. In the movies, we can do A, we can do this, we can do that. In the movies, that is not reality. So what they did was they got everybody believing in this. It's funny, like they got everybody believing in this Hollywood nonsense, this Hollywood foolery. Foolish nation over us, who, mind you, he had other spirits over top of them to lead them astray from him over us, over his people, because we were trifling. Our forefathers and foremothers were trifling as hell, straight up trifling. But the beauty is, and the good news is, that, hey, now these blessings are off. So we know that there's a foolish nation over us, okay? That's who he used to provoke us to get back to this, to realize that we want no parts of this foolish nation. We want to be part of our Father. We want our heritage. So he provoked us, foolish nation. And so he said, the restoration promised. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. He ain't talking about Gentiles. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, the foolish army, and I will drive them into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea and his hinder parts toward the utmost sea. And his stank shall come up and his ill savor shall come up, because he had done great things. See, this is what we're seeing now. We're smelling their stink. Literally and figuratively, we're smelling their stink. They're trying to poison the air. They're trying to put these chemicals that they create in their little lab, their eat mad scientist labs all around their foolish nation, their foolish country, and they say, "Oh, oops. Well, we'll figure it out. You ain't got time to figure it out no more." This is what they do. And this is happening all over, where the ley lines is switching up on them so fast that they can't keep up. The next thing we're going to see is we're going to start seeing a lot of air issues. That's how I'm going to say it, air issues. We've already seen it, but it's going to come in droves, just like these train issues are going to start happening, just like these car issues. I'm leaving the field tonight, and I'm trying to get on 77, and I was like, man, this is just like a parking lot. So I said, I'm going to take Wilkinson. So I go over, I'm jumping off of the little road to get to 77 to get back on Wilkinson, and it's all types of EMTs and medicals and fire trucks and cops, and I'm going, oh, my goodness, I can't get nowhere. And I look over, and some dude has flipped his or her car, and to be honest, I don't even understand, but the car is flipped in the median on a hill. I'm just shaking my head. I'm going, you know, the ley line has changed on these people, and these people cannot recognize why. Even though we over here yelling from the rafters, screaming it from the mountaintops, hey, we the people, repent. Get yourself right. Ah, you niggas ain't jack. Boom. You niggas don't know what you talking about. We can do, we supermen and we Wonder Woman over here. Don't you see our costumes? Can't you see how we look? Don't you see this muscle? Okay, well, can you fly and save the day? Well, not yet. Because they're a foolish nation. They don't know what they can do. Matter of fact, they can't do nothing. But they know. But they don't believe they can't do nothing. They're not humble enough to even realize that they can't do anything. That's why they got to make up rumors and lies and more foolishness about, oh, well, you know, we got HAARP and we got these, we can do this with the weather. We can go to the moon. They got to make up these lies. Because, again, if all that being true, and they can do everything they can do, and they the greatest people, and they got the most morality, and they know everything, and they are everything and everybody, then why the hell is the world in dire straits today? You would think that if you were so wise and so great and so strong, that you would have a more, even Superman had morality. These people that want to be Superman can't be Superman because they ain't got no morality. Their own morality is they still worrying about, trying to tell people that Jesus is, you know, you got to, Jesus is doctrine. Okay, so what's Jesus' doctrine? To them, it's love. Well, wait, Jesus had more, his doctrine wasn't love. His doctrine was work. You had to do something. Everything that Jesus, Yahawashah, the Christ, the Messiah, was saying was you got to do something. The last thing that you can, the one thing you cannot do is nothing. But the heathen and the Gentiles love say, no, no, Jesus is all about love. Well, Jesus, if their Jesus was about love, then why they kill, steal, destroy all over the place? You know, I had a, in my mind, I wanted to read the Dumb Diversus and the Manifest Destiny Decree. And I thought to myself, nah, I'm not even going to waste my time with that because this is a foolish nation. And they have told everyone what they're doing. But yet, when we were blind and going through our Jacob's trouble, we had no recourse. We had no recourse. We just had to shut up and take it. And we did. Until the end, when now we get our voice back. Now we get who we are back. Now we get our confidence back. Now we get our blessings back. Boom, now let's move to the blessings. And I'm going to read this in the proper tense. Because, you know, the heathens and the Gentiles got together and the words and they copy-pasted things and they extracted and added to and took away from. So I'm going to read this in the proper sense, in the proper tense. Deuteronomy 28. Excuse me. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Father, thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which he commanded thee this day, that the Father, thy God, will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee when thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket, and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Father shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Father shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Father shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, it when thou shalt keep the commandments of thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by his name, and they shall be afraid of thee. Father shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Father sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Father shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Father shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. Excuse me, if that thou when that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Father, thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. We are no longer idolizing the Gentiles, but it shall come to pass, or the Gentiles or the heathen, but it shall come to pass. Now this is the exchange of situation. But it shall come to pass when thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. We already know about that. But we're concerned now with the blessings. We now are manifesting the blessings because we now are hearkening unto the voice, Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is where we are now. This is where the rubber has met the road. The doctrines of the devils, the heathens, and the heathen Gentiles are of no more consequence to us. This is why they fight each other, and that's something else, you know. The Valley of Jehoshaphat, they would be fighting each other. Now, they don't have to be fighting each other physically. They could be just having words. They fighting each other right now. They're running around talking crap against each other. They posturing against each other right now. They ain't really shooting and killing. So they could be posturing, talking madness, getting their armies together, and then the Father break them skies, and they're like, listen, we gotta band together. We now got to band together as a world because we got this outside entity that's coming into our world. See, that sounds more like it. They ain't got to be fighting, shooting, and killing again. That's their idea or fantasy of an idea of how it's going to be because they are a warring nation. They are a foolish nation. So they aren't even understanding the concepts of what it is and what it will be. They're only dealing with the fantasy of what they want it to be. That's why they win in their movies all the time. The good news that we are now able to manifest our blessings. That's the next phase. We don't have to continue talking about slavery because we know that the slavery existed and happened against our people, and it spawned its spores of Jim Crow and segregation and lynching and gator baiting and civil rights. Listen to that, civil rights. Okay, so the most uncivil people on the face of the planet, a foolish nation, is telling us that we have to have civil rights. Foolishness. Every step of the way, everything that is being done is foolishness. It's not, you know, again, Biden falling upstairs, falling downstairs. Foolishness. Silly person. Kamala up there talking about crimes against humanity. Sit down, wench, bed wench. You just trying to be in it to win it. To gain what you can over a people that ain't even yours. So what you went to an HBCU? So what you went to HU and sat in there and did your little Delta thing or AKA thing or your little Greek thing? But you ain't even a Negro. Just like Obama, he wasn't even a Negro. All they've done is sat back and instituted a degradation of family. That's all they've done. Now, all of a sudden, they're talking about crimes against humanity. What about crimes against humanity? Trying to say that a man is a woman and a woman is a man, that's crimes against humanity. Forcing the Ugandan president to make a decision on money or morality. A foolish nation. A foolish nation. That's why he said in Joel 2, you know, he's gonna remove this foolish nation, the northern army, and will drive them into a land barren and desolate. This is why we don't have to worry. There is no more worrying for us. There's no more anxiety for us. We already know the game. The game is afoot. Like Sherlock Holmes says, the game is afoot. We know it now. We now just have to be prepared to endure and persevere through it. We ain't got to be worrying about them taking their ass whipping. They going to take it double. We ain't got to worry about them voting, them people. Who cares? Their votes for their people mean nothing. They are a foolish nation. The foolish nation. They got all those people in Congress stealing money from us to go over and fight a war. Mind you, to fight a war that isn't even being fought, per se, right? But yet, people in Kensington Street, on Kensington Street in Philly, doing these drugs that's eating their flesh away, making them into zombies, bent over like this is some a horror film. But they ain't worried about that. You got an inordinate amount of youth dying over the double jabbity jaw. You got hospitalizations increasing. You got no universal health care. You got corporations letting people go. You don't have a strong GDP. You don't have a strong economy. But yet somehow you want people to believe that you Superman. Mene, mene, tekel. That's what this is about. Mene, mene, tekel. You have been. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel. You farsen. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom. Very true. And finished it. Very, very true. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. That goes back to Baruch, the 12 woes. The eighth woe is wanting. There will be wanting. Let's reiterate this real quick. That word all up. Lacking in a certain required or necessary quality. Not existing or supplied, absent. A foolish nation. A foolish nation. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances. That black horse. Weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. This is what they did. They found on these so-called, wink, wink, in quotes, weather balloons, they found in all these ancient sites, they found these words written again as they have been digging and finding, but they didn't know what it meant. Now they do know what it means. Now they understand what it means. And a lot of them, the higher-ups knew that there would be a time when they would have to be weighed in the balances. And they'd be found wanting, lacking, which goes back to, are you right? See, they're not right. They can't get right. They are a foolish nation. That's why they run around talking about yik yak and food Jesus. That Jesus is love. He's love. He's love. He just wants to love is all you need. Love is all you need. No, that's not all you need. You got to work to the bone every day, every moment. If you're not working, and you know, people think that you got to go. That's what they do. They tricked us. They bamboozled us into believing work is 9 to 5. And then when you get home, you ain't got to work no more. Now you can do what you want. You can do how you want to do. Then on the weekends, you can go and do whatever you want to do and go out to the party and fornicate and do whatever, you know, be a hoe. And that don't just mean sexual. That means anything. Be a hoe for food. Be a hoe for drink. Be a hoe, period. So this is a foolish nation. And we got to remember this. We got to remember that we're dealing with a foolish nation. So we don't need to look at them in the same way that our fathers and our fathers' fathers' fathers looked at them, where they looked at them in the aspect of, oh, these people know what they're saying. We now get to see that they don't know a damn. They can't even rule themselves properly. They can't even not lie about anything. They don't even want – that's the whole CRT situation that's happening, critical race theory. They don't even want to talk about what they've done. They want to start from a perspective – even the preppers and all these people who – all these Gentiles that seemingly have some sense, they, and wanting not to be foolish anymore, they're still foolish because they won't even acknowledge their history. They want to go back to the 2000s and talk about the Iraq War and Syria and Libya. No, just keep moving. Keep going back. Oh, we talk about, when we brought down the wall. No. You skipped something in the 90s. You skipped the crack epidemic in the 80s. You skipped Tuskegee. Keep going back. No, we don't want to talk about that. A foolish nation. So we don't even have to hold their feet to the fire to even talk about it. You know, if you got kids in school or you got grandkids in school, what we have to do is teach our kids. We got to teach them the truth. The kids will figure out how to maneuver the system. The system is not hard, especially now that we are moving back on top. Their system is easy as hell. We give them what they want. Get your A, move on, even though you still know the truth. Yeah, Columbus discovered America. Who discovered America? This is the final test. Who discovered America? Columbus discovered America. Sarcastically. Give him the answer. Get your grade. Move on out the door. Move on out the way. Because we have been dealing with and been underneath a foolish nation. A foolish, foolish nation. A damn foolish nation. Zechariah 12. And this is a double sword for them. This is their burden that they carry because they chose to do this thing that they did. Okay, the coming deliverance of Jerusalem. This is the burden of the word of the Father concerning Israel. Thus declares the Father, who stretches out the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth, who forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem, those two nations. On that day, when all the nations of the earth gather against her, I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. Now, this is interesting because a heavy stone on that day when they've done that. They've done that. And they still are doing it. But the Father made them do coming against his loin a heavy burden, a heavy stone. They ran around talking about, we have white man's burden. We have the burden of bringing civilization to the world. This is their burden. So because they took civility and morality from Israel, from the scriptures, because Israel was already, had already given it up, Israel and Judah, our morality and our truths and our knowledge and wisdom, and they took it for themselves, but they took it and tried to use it foolishly. Nothing they've ever done has been proper, which begs me to ask the question, as I've asked before, what has the heathen Gentiles, the revived Roman Empire and Rome and Greece and Turkey, for that matter, brought to the world positively? On that day, when all the nations of the earth gather against her, I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who would heave it away will be severely injured. This is where we are. On that day, declares the Father, I will strike every horse with panic and every rider with madness. I will keep a watchful eye on the house of Judah, but I will strike with blindness all the horses of the nation. Then the leaders of Judah will say in their hearts, the people of Jerusalem are my strength, for the Father of the host is their God. On that day, I will make the clans of Judah like a fire pot and a wood pile, like a flaming torch among the sheaves. They will consume all the people around them on the right and on the left, while the people of Jerusalem remain secure there. The Lord, the Father will save the tents of Judah first. Glory of the house of David and of the people of Jerusalem may not be greater than that of Judah. On that day, the Father will defend the people of Jerusalem so that the weakest among them will be like David, and the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Father going before them. So on that day, I will set out to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. Then I will pour out on the house of David and on the people of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and prayer, and they will look on me, the one they have pierced. They will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and briefly, bitterly, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. On that day, the wailing in Jerusalem will be as great as the wailing of Hadad-Rimon in the plain of Megiddo. The land will mourn, each clan on its own, the clan of the house of David and their wives, the clan of the house of Nathan and their wives, the clan of the house of Levi and their wives, the clan of Shimeon and their wives, and all the remaining clans and their wives. So saith the Father. Because he put us under a foolish nation. So, what have we deduced? We have deduced that a foolish nation has been put over us. We also have deduced that we have to look at these people as fools in order for us to break away from their foolery, their tomfoolery. The way that they think, the way that they act, the way that they want people to believe who they are is foolishness. As we have already stated, they have been weighed in the balances and they have been found wanting. And we know what happened to Belshazzar. That fella, after he decided he was going to drink from he was going to drink from the father's treasury, and used the Father's treasury for degradation, he was found dead. So esoterically, if we just use that in the nation form, we can see that their nation is dying. It's been judged. It's being judged. And that's Genesis 15, 13 through 15, through 14. So we're at this precipice now of the exchange of situation fully happening. And like I said, listen, this isn't to gloat or boast, but the older the Negro gets, the better they look. And again, this is not all. And the older the heathen Gentiles get, the worse they look. And you know what? It kind of makes sense, because if you're holding in a lot of foolishness and hate and disdainment and lies and trickery and murder, if you're holding that stuff in, then it takes a toll on your body. Curses, and that's the whole thing. When we were seeing ourselves, when we were seeing them as the head, we were falling victim. We were degrading ourselves. So our outer being became dung. The older we got, the worse things got for us. But now the older we get, the better things get for us. Now the older they get, the worse things get for them. That's why they have to cleave to us, because the light and the strength, the endurance and the perseverance, it's like a trainer. We're a trainer. We're the trainers, you know. This is a whole big gym. We're the trainers. We sit back and we're training. They're coming in after eating their bag of chips and their, you know, McDonald's and their, you know, Pizza Hut, you know, drinking their Paps and, you know, lots of their Urkel and Jerkel and, you know, whatever else, drinks and whatever other drugs that they're doing. They come in as a gym talking about, hey, you know, can you get me fit? And we're like, well, here are the things you got to do. And some of them look at us and they go, well, I don't know if I can do it. I'm going to go back to eating my chips and drinking my drink, smoking my smoke. You're like, okay. And then there's others going to be like, listen, I'm all down. I'm all in. I am tired of being a fool. And it makes sense. Then those people are going to gain some benefit, some fitness. This is fit. The survival of the fittest takes on a whole different meaning when you look at it from a spiritual perspective of endurance and perseverance. And what these people don't get is that they never had the ability to obtain salvation. Let me drink a little water. That they never had the ability, even though they talked it, we get salvation through the, what would they say, a spiritual Israel. Whatever, man, whatever that means, fool, that don't even mean nothing, and it don't even make sense. If you're running around talking about Paul, you're bastardizing that fella too, and there ain't no such thing as the New Testament. Fool. That's fool's gold, the New Testament. Fool's gold. Fool's gold. The whole book before this fool's gold of New Testament was about a people, people's redemption and salvation. Then all of a sudden it just said that, oh, them niggas or them people, we ain't worried about them people or them niggas, we ain't worried about them. It's about us and our salvation. But wait, what about the people who, I'll kill you if you talk about them. Off with this head. So a foolish nation has been over us, demeaning us, mocking us, treating us like dung. But the good news is their time is up. And that's what we're seeing. The Gentiles have had their opportunity, their turn, their time to rule. Their time, their fullness is up. It don't matter what any of them say. And that's the funny of the whole thing. when you listen to them now, it's like, what in the world is he talking about? What is she saying? None of that is even making sense. Oh, well, I can see that. That's why they got all these revisions, different books, so that each one of them can say whatever they want to say, how they want to say it, when they want to say it. You know, we fight against flesh. We don't fight against no flesh and blood. They fight against flesh and blood because that's all they can do. They can't fight in the spiritual. That's what we were set for. We're God's army. But he had to put his army down. Because his army was acting a straight donkey, thinking that these, again, this foolish nation, made sense, and they didn't make any sense. It was all about murder, kill, steal, and destroy. Now, that brings me to one major thing that we have been dealing with or we've seen here recently, and that's Turkey A, all right? Say it the way that they want to say it, whatever. Foolish, right? Foolishness. Turkey A? What? What kind of madness is that? It's Turkey. Matter of fact, it's actually Constantinople. Now let's take a look at that. Constantinople. Important historical facts. Istanbul was originally known as Constantinople and was where world Christianity had its Temple Church of its God, Hagia Sophia, Holy Wisdom. Now what? Wait, Constantinople, once the imperial capital of the Byzantine Empire, Eastern Roman Empire, was the first city where Christianity was designated the capital religion. And we talk about Rome. You know, just because they went on the Seven Hills don't mean that they didn't have another place. What happened to the Christians in Constantinople? The main social effect of the fall of Constantinople was the reduction of the Greek Christian population to a secondary status within the Ottoman Empire. Many Christians were ragged and teased in the streets. The effect of this reduction is still seen today in the hatred that Greeks have towards Turks. Why was Constantinople important to Christianity? In AD 330, the city was dedicated as an imperial city. Imperial churches emerged that became the model for constructing churches in provincial cities. The Roman Senate in Constantinople was encouraged to be Christian, and the court was Christian in tone. It gave its authority its seal behind the new faith. I don't understand why Turkey's taking this ass whipping. Well, now you're starting to figure it out. Why was Constantinople the city of God? According to Byzantine tradition, Constantinople was the holy city. Wait, I thought Jerusalem was a holy city. According to Byzantine tradition, Constantinople was the holy city where the second coming of Christ was awaited, described by pilgrims and travelers as a spatial icon, idol. The city's sacredness transcended its historical architecture and urbanistic realities. Istanbul. Constantinople is an ancient city in modern-day Turkey that's now known as Istanbul, first settled in the 7th century B.C. Constantinople developed into a thriving port thanks to its prime geographic location between Europe and Asia and its natural harbor. I didn't know Turkey, Constantinople was in Turkey. I didn't understand why they're getting quaked. Oh, wait, what? Wait, there's more? Yeah, there's more. Where is Pergamum in the Bible today? The site is occupied by the modern town of Bergama in the Eu province of Izmir, Turkey. Pergamum existed at least from the 5th century BCE. but it became important only in the Hellenistic Age, 323 through BCE, when it served as the residence of the Attalid dynasty. But wait, there's even more than that. Satan's throne. Wait, there's more? Satan's throne. Pergamum. Modern Bergama in Turkey. Satan's throne. Pergamos, a church dwelling where Satan's throne is. Wow, I mean, they know damn well where Satan's throne is. Where Satan lives, Pergamum. What does Revelation 2:13 mean? Revelation 2:13. I know thy works, and where thou even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith. Satan's seat. You can still see this throne today at the Pergamum Museum in Germany. The German engineer Carl Heumann excavated the site one brick at a time. They took their time. They loved this place. One brick at a time. And to the angel of the church of Pergamum write, the words of him who has the sharp two-edged sword, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. Yet you hold fast my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold the teachings of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, so that they might eat food sacrificed to idols and practice sexual immorality. OMG, is that not what they have done to thee? Of course. So also you have some who hold the teachings of the Nicolaitans. Therefore, repent. If not, I will come to you soon and war against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will give him. I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. He knew. They know. They know what they're doing. They know what they know who they serve. Turkey is the original holy city, Think Council of Nicene, the original holy city of Rome, of the heathen. So everything, when they were doing their crusades, this is where they got their crusades. They started their crusades from Turkey. It's in between Asia and Europe. Turkey was the center of it all. It was the origin of it all. So is it by coincidence the Most High is just pounding them? No, it is not a coincidence. Recompense is his. He's going to start at Satan's seat, his throne. He's going to start at their holy city, the heathen's holy city. We think, again, it's Rome in Italy on the Seven Hills. No, no, no. It's Turkey. That's why it's so interesting, like when we look at archaeology, they always want to say Turkey has some of the oldest, the most oldest ruins. No, it doesn't. But they want to do that because that's their holy city. That's why he's bringing it down to the ground, just like he said, just like Yahushua said, you see, every stone on this temple will be cast to the ground. Everything that he did, everything that has occurred to us is will and is occurring to them. And their folly is making it even easier to separate from them. Like, I don't want to be part of their political system. I don't want to be part of their education system. If I could just live my life with my wife, supporting my daughter and my mom and dad without going to their 9-to-5, without having to deal with them, I would love to do that. If all I had to do is just do the right thing every day. And see, this is where we are now. We're saying we want more. We want more. The Gentiles cannot give us any more. We have passed them. And it was in a blink of an eye. We passed them. Matter of fact, we surpassed them in 2019, 2020. We surpassed them. At that point, we went ahead. They went below. We went ahead. They went below. And the interesting thing about that was that no one even saw it. And it's to be expected. No one saw it, not even us at that time. It's only those things, the things that occur are for reflection. And as they occur, we're involved in them. Then we reflect back upon them, and then that's where we gain the wisdom. These people ain't doing nothing. They ain't even going to fight each other. They just going to posture and talk smack. Because if they were real men, if they were real supermen, they'd get out like they used to do and straight up duel each other. Putin, you take your gun, your Glock, your Desert Storm, your Desert Heat. Biden, you take yours. Y'all walk y'all's 12 paces. You turn, first one turn, shoot to the death. We'll see. If they did that, then we'd see morality. We'd see balance. But instead, they just make secret combinations amongst themselves for show. That's why Biden going to a black church trying to dance and be part of it. Nigga, go somewhere and sit your cantankerous, crackerjack, dumb, ignorant, degenerate ass down. You're damn near 80. We don't need to see you. Look at you. You're horrid. Your wife wants nothing to do with you. She kissing on nasty Kamala's husband's lips. This is a mockery. This is the epitome of a foolish nation. And if we don't see that, then you are part still of the foolish nation. It's time for us to move even further. Of course, there's going to be a lot of damage to their infrastructure that really is our infrastructure. Of course, it's going to be. Of course, there's going to be a lot of spills and fires because the Most High is going to have to purify this land that He gave to this foolish nation because their stank is filthy. They're rotten. They run around talking about Jesus this, Jesus that, but their actions show a different story altogether. Yes, of course we love you. Kill them. Yes, you can be on my team. Fire them. Yes, we want to hire you. Make sure that he don't go no further. Make sure he don't make a lot of money. Yes, we all can go to church, but make sure that he come to our church to learn what we say. This is the mockery of our scriptures by the heathen, the foolish nation. And it's funny, like you can read, when you read the Bible, their Bible, our Tanakh, and their false New Testament madness, you can see how they have distorted everything. And first of all, the main sign or the telltale sign of the distortion is the pronouns. All that's in there are the they's, them, you's. All the pronouns, he's, him's. But you don't get any subject connected to those pronouns. You get none. which they, was done by design, because if you knew who they were speaking of, then you can make a form, a intelligent deduction of who to deal with. That's why they push their false, fake New Testament into smoke water. So we are under the reign. We're under the last reign of a foolish nation. That's why they're moving all their stuff over to Ukraine, the Valley of Jehoshaphat. That's why the Ukraine, I mean, the United Kingdom, the EU, that they're all in disarray because they thought that they were going to be somehow saved. They're taking the brunt because there's so much blood over here, but there is so much blood in the hands of the Europeans. So much blood on the hands of the Europeans. That's why he's got to bring them all back to their original, to their origins, and that's where he's got to deal with them. And as he's doing that to them, he's cleansing our land. Now, the way I see it, and this is just my thoughts on it, he's going to get them off the land. We ain't going nowhere. He's going to get them off the land, and the chariots will be down here cleaning the land, purifying. Because, again, the land, the earth is alive. He's got to take, the earth ain't do nothing. The earth has sat here and had to endure and persevere through all of the foolish nation's folly. Wars, the bombs, the poisons, the chemicals, you know, everything has had to endure a terrible fate, all because of us. All because of us. So the wisdom that we seek is the wisdom that the land is giving us. That's why the land will help the woman, the woman's seed. Yeah, because it's going to start cleansing itself. The Father's going to allow it to cleanse itself and then cough up, if you will, or spit or bring forward, if you will, all of the treasures, all of our heritage, all the things that it was hiding from the foolish nation. Because this foolish nation cannot handle truth. Foolishness can't handle. A fool is deceitful. So deceit can't handle truth. This is what we're seeing. This is why we know that we're under a foolish nation. This is, and plus, that's what he said. That's what he said. And that's why I was saying, and even in Greece, you know, Greece is having problems too. Their ley lines are switching. A passenger train runs headlong into a freight train on a stretch of miles from Athens to this other city that they had fixed. And watch this: that they had fixed for double lanes on double tracks, and instead of it being automated, it was manual. Oops. I forgot to switch the tracks. I went to have my gyro. I had to get my gyro, my gyro. I'm just making fun because that's not even Greek. But nevertheless, they had to do it manually. And it didn't get done. And now it's death over there, train. This is about to ramp up. It's about to be very severe. And those, you know, a lot of us think that, you know, the chair is going to come to help us. I believe so myself. It would be real nice if they just pick us up, but I think that the kingdom's going to be on his land, on his special promised land. That only makes sense to me. We don't need to go anywhere. He can protect us where we are. Shoot, he can protect us. He can protect us individually where we are. We ain't got to go nowhere. What we want to see is this Northern Army, this foolish nation people up off our land. And those Negroes who believe that it's all in Africa, them gone too. Everybody needs to get up, get out, and get off our land. Because we got next. All this other conundrums and foolery and isms and abominations and things that are just degenerate and debaucherous, get it off the land too. Put it right back where it began, over there in Constantinople. Turkey, yay. Give it to them. Let them have it. Let them have recompense, double. Because that's what it's all about. This is where they picked over our scriptures. This is where they debated our scriptures, our word, the Father's word. This is where they mucked up our words and took things out and said, nah, we ain't going to have that. We don't need that in there talking about us. This is where it all began, Constantinople. Don't forget, lest we forget Constantine, Constantinople, which leads me back to the Ukraine. These are the worst people in the on the face of the earth right now. These people, and I won't say all, but majority of them are racist. Lest we forget, they turned around and made, when the war broke out last year, they made all the Africans stay as they took off. Now, you know, all that money that we didn't gave over to, you know, that went all to the Ukrainian Caucasians. That didn't go nowhere near the Ukrainian Africans. Nowhere near them. That's why Ukraine got to pay. But it's going to pay in the worst way at the end. That's why I am under the impression, based on my due diligence and understanding, given by the Father, all praises, that the Ukraine is the Valley of Jehoshaphat. It only makes sense. That's what they all clamoring for. That's what they all want. They all about it. And granted, you know, it could be something else. But in this day and age, it seems like where else would the Father have the Valley of Jehoshaphat? In Africa? The Hamites have gone through hell and high water themselves. In Asia? Wow. I mean, it's right next door to Turkey. And Ukraine's right next door to it. And where would it be? It would be, wouldn't it make sense that all these wars will have to be on European soil since Europeans shed so much blood? And mind you, ain't even repenting for it. Wouldn't that make more sense? We have reached the age of common sense. People, family, brethren, sisters, we now get to use that as our wand. We get to use that as our wand, common sense wand. So when we wave it, if it's not common sense, then we know that it is just straight up devilment. That's what we get to do now. We get to use our heritage. We get to use our understanding. We get to use our wisdom again. And this time we get to use it properly by discerning, by not making a mockery of the people, but just moving out of the way. The pain is coming. The pain is here. We don't need to be running over there trying to be nosy. We don't need to be worrying about it. We don't need to be, pray for us. Well, you know what? There's no prayers that's going to be able to help you right now. You have to pray for yourself. This ain't, No one's going to come to your aid. This is not me helping you be saved. You have to help you be saved. You have to come to the Father humbly. You have to respect his people. We're at the feet, the clay and iron mix. They know it. Matter of fact, that's the only prophecy that they all agree with. So they know it. I'm not a prophet, but I just get to prophesy based on the prophet's prophecies. They don't want that. That's why they killed all our people who were bringing out their wine, who got the knowledge of bringing their wine to fruition early. They killed them. But now they can't kill us all because they'd be looked at in a way that would be disastrous, even more so to their psyche right now. Because China's just waiting to blast them. Look at how you treat them niggas over there that you guys got. Just wait. Just wait. And you know what? It's to be expected, and it should. This is what karma looks like. This is what recompense looks like. This is what cursed individuals do and look like. And all they need to do is repent and cleave to us, but some of us don't even want them cleaving to us, which is our test. That's why this whole thing is happening so fast that people are not going to be prepared. The preparation was years ago. The endurance is current. The perseverance is concurrent. It's all one. Nothing is separate like the foolish nation wanted you to believe. Just like they want you to believe that Democrat and Republican are two different things. No, it's not. It's the same. This is not hard anymore, and this is very interesting to see. We're starting to see these stars do they starting to we're starting to see the stars do their thing for us, bring us more energy, bring us better health, better insight, better understanding. Just by showing up, it's starting to show these signs in the sky that the Gentiles are dismayed at. Let's look up that word, dismayed. Consternation and distress, typically that caused by something unexpected. These things are showing up unexpected. They hadn't seen them in generations upon generations. And they're showing back up, and they're going, wait, we never saw that before. Wow, wait, are these aliens? Wow, wait, what's going on? Is this UFOs? Wow, wait, we can't get back to the moon again because you guys decided to burn that technology? Wow, wait, it appears that we have inherited lies from our fathers and things therein of no value. See, this is where we are. This is the exchange of situation. We've exchanged it. Some of us have exchanged it earlier than others. Some will still exchange their situation to the Gentiles. But for me, I've exchanged it. I work and I deal with these Gentiles. And so now, in dealing with them and being around them from dealing with them, my exchange of situation, and based on the wisdom and knowledge that the Father has given me, imparted to me, I now, my exchange of situation to them has changed. Where my leaps of faith and my faith is strong, we are setting ourselves, the Father is setting us up to be the testament, to be his testament to the world. He's also setting us up to have a testament for him for the world. This is our testament, where we have come from, where we are, and where we are going. My testament is one of great highs and great lows. And here I am still today. The same person, but just with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I sat around and ate off of and entertained the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But the Father woke me up and said, do you want to continue to eat off of that tree, or do you want this some of this tree of life over here? That was 2016. My dad and I started this radio show. He started it. I was a part of it, whatever. And here we are today. Here we are today. 7 years later. We have matriculated the ladder of Jacob. Up Jacob's ladder, we have matriculated. While the heathens and the Gentiles sit around and contemplate and cogitate and coagulate and congregate at the bottom rung. How did we get here? What do you mean? What? We were just at the top. What happened? What's going on? Well, it looks like them niggas up there just moved up in there. How did they get there? Well, why don't we ask them? We ain't asking them niggas. Matter of fact, let's try to kill them niggas. This is what they doing. And every time they try to come up a rung and try to kill us, they get killed. These cops are out here running rogue again. Against our people, against the Father's loins. And the brothers and sisters have done nothing this time. Like that, you know, in the past, brothers have some dope on them, some drugs, you know, gang guns, all this stuff. Brothers and sisters now, they ain't got none of that stuff. They may even have a gun. They may have a gun, but it is legal. And they still get shook down, shot, killed. Hunting us, now we get to hunt them. But we get to do it with the power of the Father. We get to see their foolishness coming a mile away. Oh, here come them foolish, this foolish nation. Here them people come, just like a Karen. You could spot a Karen a mile away. We get to see it now, and we get to be out in front of it because we continue to endure and persevere. That's the good news. And the overall good news is mene mene tekel, good news. Because this world has been tried and found wanting. And they can't figure out, they do not want to acknowledge who's judging them. They can figure it out, but they don't want to acknowledge it. So they're going to triple down with Jesus. And that's okay. That's okay because we'll just step out of the way and let them roll with how they're going to roll. Because they're already at the bottom. We don't need to browbeat them. We don't need to mock them. We don't need to boast over them. They are already at the bottom. It's the exchange of situation again. The history of this is that what goes around comes around. That burden, that heavy millstone that was wrapped around their neck, that they put around our neck and said that you are our burden, now that's taken on a new life. Taken on a whole new life. And it's just like there's a couple movies out there that you don't even, you know, White Man Burden, that's John Travolta's movie. And people don't even remember that, where the exchange of situation was in Hollywood, was manifested through Hollywood, the exchange of situation. It ain't like that at all. find that movie on any of these platforms to watch, any of them, Netflix, Tubi, Prime, Hulu. You ain't going to be able to find it. But somehow it's on IDBM, but you can't find it there either. I'm going to read this, and we're going to call it a night. And while I do that, it's all praises to the Father. I'm telling you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is wonderful and is for us and is about us and is around us. So give him his praise, his due, his love, and give him his worship. This is Rudyard Kipling, The White Man's Burden, 1899. This is their decree, this is what they do. This is what they base everything on. This famous poem written by Britain's imperial poet, born in India, boarding school in Britain, journalist in India, fame in Britain, and married and lived for a time in the U.S., was a response to the American takeover of the Philippines after the Spanish-American War. Take up the white man's burden, send forth the best ye breed. Go bind your sons to exile to serve your captive's need, to wait in heavy harness on fluttered folk and wild, your new caught sullen peoples, half devil and half child. Take up the white man's burden and patience to abide, to veil the threat of terror and check the show of pride. By open speech and simple, and 100 times made plain, to seek another's profit and work another's gain. Take up the white man's burden, the savage wars of peace, fit full the mouth of famine and bid the sickness cease. And when your goal is nearest, the end for others sought, watch sloth and heathen folly bring all your hopes to naught. Take up the white man's burden, no tawdry rule of kings, toil of serf and sweeper, the tale of common things. The porch ye shall not enter, the roads ye shall not tread. Go mark them with your living and mark them with your dead. Take up the white man's burden and reap his old reward, the blame of those ye better, the hate of those ye guard. The cry of hosts ye humor, ah, slowly toward the light. Why brought he us from bondage, our loved Egyptian knight? Take up the white man's burden. Ye dare not stoop to less, nor call too loud on freedom to cloak your weariness. By all ye cry or whisper, by all ye leave or do, the silent southern peoples shall weigh your gods and you. Take up the white man's burden. Have done with childish days, the lightly proffered laurel, the easy ungrudged praise. Comes now to search your manhood through all the thankless years, cold-edged with dear-bought wisdom, the judgment of your peers. With that, brethren and sisters, remember the good news is that our redemption is nigh. To continue to endure and persevere, to be wise, to help your brothers and sisters, to help those Gentiles that cleave and want to be brothers and sisters, to be humble of spirit, to be able to love our God, our Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and our brothers and our sisters. And to ensure that every day we're working to do what the Father wills us to do. Our days are coming sooner than we think. This month is about to be one of the grandest months. A lot will be happening. Be prepared. The spiritual war is in full effect. But, Israel, be at peace. know that our time is near, and shalom.